Good morning, Pathway. My name is Josie, and I'm going to bring you the Bible reading this morning, and we are going to read the entire book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done what as you have pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this time, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, 'Salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Then God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways. He relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat at a place east of the city. He made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?"
We're getting very serious. All right. Good morning, Pathway. My name is Ryan, and we just read an entire book of the Bible. Thanks, Josie. So while the reading was a tad longer than we would normally do, I think it was important to take the time to read the entire book as a whole. Because after all, the book of Jonah was written as one story, and it was meant to be read as such. So I trust we got a fresh grasp on what's maybe likely a fairly familiar story. Now, the first thing I actually want to do is ask you guys, what did you see in the story? Now, I tend to do this when I'm preparing for a sermon or doing a deep dive on a biblical text. I just read the passage and then throw my questions at it. So that's what we're going to do here on the whiteboard. I've got some questions on the board. Just give me a second to... That should work. All right. So, hit me. What stood out in the passage? What questions do you have? What moments did you have? Shout it out. I'll put it on the board. Yes, Murray. Can't run away. I'm not a good rider. So, can't run away. Yep. From God. What else we got? Yep. Dramatic. I wish I was dead. Oh, I can't ride on this thing. Dramatic. Tantrums, yep. What other questions or thoughts? Yes, Alice. Yep. Yep. Yep, yeah, absolutely. Yes, and I wonder if this is a good word to describe that. Fickle. He just says one thing in trouble, and then when all things are going great, he's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, so good point. Any other ideas? Emotional outbursts. Jaunty at the back. Yeah, what's this casting lots business? Is this gambling? Is this... Yep, good question. Yeah, why did he have to be thrown off? Why not jump? Yep, why did he have to get thrown off? Yeah, so for the likes of folks on Zoom, Carla saying, if that didn't happen, if Carla wasn't thrown off, then the sailors wouldn't have turned and repented. Yeah, a few more, Claire. Yeah, did you notice his fantastic sermon? It was 8 words long. Like, very... Yep, so why did Nineveh listen? Did. Maybe why did Nineveh care? Yep. 3 days in the fish, yeah. Yep. What's that about, Tom? Ah, did Jesus spend 3 days in the fish? Yeah. Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yep. I'll give all my spoilers away. Yeah, all right, a couple more and we're done. Josie. Yeah, why? What's with the animals in Nineveh? Animals fasting. Can I just say that whiteboards are not friendly for left-handers? All right, one more. Who's got question, emotional outburst, anything? Yeah, Linda. Yep. There are a few in this church who I won't name, but they don't know their left or right either. Left or right. Yep. Cool. All right. Well, anyway, these are great questions, great observations. These sorts of things are helpful. Like, it helps us to think about the story more. It gets you thinking, and I think this is cool. So now, obviously, I can't refer to every single question and answer all these things there. There's a lot going on there, and we can't possibly cover all of it. With any depth this morning, but we will dig into bits and pieces of that. Now, if you do want to keep digging, if you want to keep asking questions, can I encourage you in your discipleship groups? Chat about this sort of stuff. Maybe you're doing this series that we're producing the content for, or maybe you're not. Either way, it's a good time to get together, dig into the Word, explore Jonah, go, what's going on here? Ask these sorts of questions and bat it around and ask different perspectives. So, shameless plug for discipleship groups. And if you're really bugged by this and your small group, for whatever reason, or maybe you're not part of a small group, isn't going there, talk to myself. Talk to Etienne. Again, don't have all the answers, but I will have responses. Be more than happy to chat with you and dive into the Word together. All right, let's just hit the brakes for a second. Before we go any further with the story and all the stuff we've put on this whiteboard and a bunch more, please allow me to pray and ask God to help us today. God, your word is a treasure trove of wisdom, of grace, love, and wonder. May we unpack this tiny part of it well this morning. God, please use your word to open our minds, to see you in the text, to see your love, your grace, and yourself, O God. May this time be fruitful and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as we can see, there are a lot of things we can dig into with this short Bible story. However, there's one thing that is very clear in the story of Jonah. And no, it's not about the fish. Jonah shows us that God is a God who is gracious, who is compassionate, who is slow to anger and abounding in love. He's all these things towards Jonah, but also toward the Ninevites. So much so that even despite Jonah's best efforts to ignore and run away from God's love and compassion, and Jonah's terrible attitude, God's love and message of salvation still makes it to those who he wants to hear it. Now, we've just read the whole story, right? We've got a fairly decent grasp of the broader narrative. But to show one of the key parts in Jonah, please have a look again to chapter 4, verse 2. This is after Nineveh has repented and turned to God. All right, who's got a Bible on their lap? All right, who'd like to read chapter 4, verse 2? I'll stick it on the screen so others can follow. Go, Reggie. Thanks. Thanks, Reggie. This is the reason Jonah fled. This is the reason Jonah disobeyed God. This is the reason we have the story of Jonah at all. Jonah knew God is a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of mercy. Jonah knew God was going to save a bunch of people that he did not like. Now, Jonah is mostly known about because of the fish incident. But it's really not the main point of the prophet at all. In fact, Jonah's not even the hero in this story, and Jonah's not even the good guy, you know? This is a story of a disobedient, a fearful, a reluctant prophet that shows us that God's love and message of salvation is not just for a select group of people. It is for all. Even, dare I say, especially for the people we don't necessarily like. Nor does God's message of salvation have to come from like eloquent, fully obedient, perfect people, because Jonah certainly wasn't. God's love, God's message of salvation, does not depend on Jonah delivering it just right. It doesn't depend on whether or not the people hearing it deserve it or not. God's love for people trumps all of that. Jonah did a terrible job, right? He did a terrible job at obeying God and following his command to go to Nineveh, to bring the message of salvation to a nation that really needs it. He fled, right? I mean, we could look at geographic stuff here, but it's a bit confusing, but I think I've looked into it before and I can't quite remember, but like, he was supposed to go from Devonport to like beyond Perth in WA, and he went to Canberra. Like, completely wrong direction, right? He fled, and in doing so, he nearly killed a bunch of sailors, nearly sunk a ship, he cost them all their cargo because they had to throw it out to make it lighter. He nearly died himself in the belly of a fish, and only after all this, and being commanded a second time by God to go, did he finally do what he was told. And might I add too, this was touched on, I think Claire mentioned it, that the biblical narrative doesn't paint like this super willing and excited Jonah, does it? Jonah went to Nineveh and said 8 words. That's 8 English words. In the original text, it's 5. The half-hearted sermon, a disobedient heart and a terrible attitude is all because Jonah did not like the people from Nineveh. And he certainly didn't want the all-loving, all-compassionate, all-merciful God who he knew to love them either. Nineveh was so far removed geographically, culturally, spiritually from the nation of Israel that Bianca spoke about in her call to worship. The nation of Israel, who remember, are the people group of whom God made this original covenant with. So the people of Nineveh were so distant and unliked in the eyes of Jonah that they were not worthy of being invited into or included into God's family. Yet, this useless prophet was used by God to turn an entire city around from harsh judgment and hostility toward God to forgiveness, to mercy, and a relationship with God. And not only that, this useless, half-hearted, disobedient prophet was used by God to turn around a city that was so far removed from God's original people group. These sorts of people were commonly referred to as Gentiles, which simply means non-Jews, right? This is a huge, huge deal. God had selected for himself a particular people group, Jewish people, the nation of Israel, and they thought that God was exclusively for them because they were special. In the eyes of Jonah, only his people and the people like him were worthy of God's love, which is entirely incorrect. And the story of Jonah really shows us that. God's love and message of salvation made it to a distant, evil, pagan city like Nineveh, by the disobedient, useless, half-hearted prophet Jonah. God's love extends beyond his useless prophet to a nation of people who were so lost, so far away from God, to a nation no one would have expected God to care about. But he did this in the story of Jonah, and he still does this today. Not because some people are more deserving of his love than others, not because there are particularly special people who proclaim this message of salvation particularly elegantly, but because God's love goes beyond all boundaries. God's love is for all to know and experience. God extends himself to all of mankind. Sure, not everyone takes him up on the offer, but the offer is there. God's love extended to the evil Ninevites, far removed from God, far removed geographically, far removed from friendship of the people who knew God, but because God loves, not just a select group of people, but all. The book of Jonah is not about a disobedient prophet and a big fish. The book of Jonah is about God and his big love for humanity. So, I think I've broken the screen. Anyway, that'll do. So, in light of what we've just heard, and in light of the series of the Old Testament prophets we're doing, who remembers from last week what the prophet's job actually was? Shout it out. What's a prophet's job? Are they fortune tellers? So they ask their pathway kids. Sorry. Yeah, point to Jesus. Yep. Yeah, they've got a bunch of different jobs. I'm not looking for an exact answer here, by the way. But yeah, bring God's word. Like a spokesman for God. I think Jess used that phrase and terminology last week. The prophet's job was to be the spokesman for God, to bring people back to him, to show them this promised Messiah that is coming, to do all this stuff. So their job, spokesman for God, their job was to call the people back to God, back into relationship with him, back into the word, back into the covenantal promises, which we've just seen Jonah doing a very ordinary job of doing. And then throwing back to last week again, for those who are here, it put forth the question of, does God still speak to his people today? He certainly did throughout the Old Testament, right? Particularly through the prophets. But does he still speak today? Does he speak to you? Does he even want to? Now, again, at the risk of repeating it too much here, God still speaks. It brought up four things last week. He speaks in his word, in the Bible. He speaks through other Christians. He speaks through worship. He speaks through creation, as well as a host of other things, but he touched on four last week. God still speaks. He still speaks to us, and he does so often. Sure, if you're anything like me, we're often too distracted or self-absorbed to hear him or even notice what it is he's doing. But he is still speaking. He's still showing us bits of himself, bits of his heart, more of his character, more of his love, and more of his mercy. He does this today. He speaks and shares of himself with us today. But remember, all those years ago, in fact, we weren't alive, so we can't remember, but remember the story. He shouted it loud and clear and didn't just share with us parts of himself or glimpses of his love, but he gave himself entirely in the man named Jesus, the perfect prophet, the perfect spokesman for God. Now, Jesus and Jonah have a few things in common. However, it's their differences that really stand out. So both Jonah and Jesus were sent by God to bring a message of salvation to people living in darkness. Jonah, we've just read, was sent to the wicked city of Nineveh, while Jesus was sent to the wicked world lost in sin. Jonah spent 3 days in the fish, didn't he, Tom? Just as Jesus would later spend 3 days in the tomb. In fact, in Matthew 12, Jesus himself refers to the sign of Jonah as a pointer to his own death and resurrection. And both Jonah and Jesus were involved in calming storms. Jonah, when he was kind of unwillingly thrown overboard, the sea grew calm. But Jesus, speaking peace directly, his authority, he spoke directly to the wind and the waves, and the storm was calmed. But the differences between Jonah and Jesus are even more striking. They help us see just how much greater Jesus is. Where Jonah ran from God's call, Jesus obeyed the Father's will perfectly, even unto death. Where Jonah was reluctant and self-righteous, Jesus was willing, full of compassion and grace, welcoming sinners and rejoicing when they repented. Jonah was angry when God showed mercy to the undeserving, but Jesus willingly laid down his life to bring mercy to those who had done nothing to deserve it, including us. Jonah came close to death and was saved by grace. But Jesus actually died, bearing the full weight of God's judgment for sin, so that we might be saved. After 3 days inside a fish, Jonah was vomited out of it with no dignity, no splendor. After 3 days in the grave, Jesus rose from it, having victoriously conquered death, evil, and sin. All of these things contrast and highlight the unfolding of God's sovereign plan. Jonah, he's a shadow. Jesus is a substance. Jonah's failure shows our need for a better prophet, one who not only speaks the word of God, but is the word made flesh. Through the story of Jonah, we're reminded again that God's grace is never earned. It is freely given, and it comes through Jesus, the true and better and perfect Jonah, who didn't just risk his life to save sinners, but gave it. In the story of Jonah, we see that the message of salvation is not just for the nation of Israel, but for the people of Nineveh too, a people group that are so far removed, a people group who are not liked, a people who are evil, and people who ultimately are undeserving. In Christ, we see the fullness of God's mercy, not only for Israel, or even just for Nineveh, but for every nation, fulfilling the covenant promise made to Abraham. And like Nineveh, the people Jesus brings the message of salvation to are far removed, they're not liked, evil, and undeserving. Who's to guess who that is? Us. It's all humanity. Not one of us has done anything special to earn God's favor. Not one of us deserves the salvation that God offers us through Jesus. Just like Nineveh, we are completely undeserving of God's love, compassion, and mercy. Now maybe you think you're a bit like the city of Nineveh, distant from God, not part of God's family, too ashamed, too broken, too bad to be loved by the God of the universe, unworthy to be loved by Him. Do you feel too far removed from God to love you? Do you think you're too evil for God to love you? Do you think you've made too much of a mess of your life for God to forgive you? Look, maybe it's a secret addiction you can't beat, or some sort of blunder in a relationship or at work or with your family. It burdens you with shame. You think you're unlovable, too broken, too dirty and tainted for God to love you. Maybe even too broken to think that other people might love you. I bet there are people here today who feel this. May Jesus speak to you right now and say that that is a lie. He came for the broken. He loves the sinner. His heart breaks for you. I told Josie I would not make it through this. His heart breaks for you so much that he came and not just had his heart broken, but himself. We are like the people of Nineveh, far away from God, evil, rebellious, sinful. But God sent someone to restore us. God sent someone with a message of salvation. Someone way more loving, someone way more selfless. Someone a bit like Jonah, but also a lot not like Jonah. Jesus, our perfect prophet, has come to you. He has come to us who are far removed from God, us who are sinful, us who are rebellious. Hear him speak to you today. Jesus loves you and forgives you. Your sin, your blunder, however bad you might think you are, Jesus can wash you clean and you can be made right with him. You know that you can never be good enough for God. Sin and all those blunders, they prevent you. In fact, your own guilt and your own conscience is telling you that now. But Jesus, God's own Son, didn't give in to sin. He was perfect in every way. Believe that he took your sin from you, past, present, and future, all of your blunders upon himself. He's removed that sin, the guilt, the shame of sin. He's removed it from you on the cross and in the grave. He came for you and did this for you because he loves you. Jesus has done this for you. Believe it. Stake your life on it. And if you already know this, great. Be like Jesus, not like Jonah. And seek to bring this message of salvation to everyone. Whether or not you like them, whether or not you perceive them as too evil, too far removed, whatever. Jesus came for you and delivered you from your sin. He can and will do so for others. As followers of Christ, we are to be like him. Bring this message of salvation wherever it is you go. And share it with whoever it is you rub shoulders with, whoever you encounter. No one is too far removed from Jesus' love. No one is not loved by him. Even those, in fact, especially those who we don't like, who we find hard to love. Jesus' message of salvation, it is for all to hear. May we proclaim it loudly to all, putting aside our own biases, our own preferences, and being like Jesus, freely giving of ourselves to proclaim the message of salvation to all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks that we have you to look to, you inside of us, you who died for us and not Jonah. Thanks that you freely give yourself for us. You brought the message of salvation to us and demonstrated how far you'll go with the cross. Not like Jonah, half-hearted, reluctantly sharing with people he didn't like. You gave all of yourself for us. Us who rebelled against you. Us who have made a mess of everything with our sin. You came for us wholeheartedly and boldly. Thanks for speaking to us today through your word. Even using like a guy like Jonah to do it. Lord, we praise you and thank you for saving us. May we seek to bring the same message of salvation to others, boldly and wholeheartedly as you did. And for those here who think they are too far removed from you, too sin-filled, too rotten, too far gone for you to care about them and love, Lord, speak into their lives. You love them. You forgive them. You accept them and embrace them. Draw hearts to yourself today, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, worship team.
All right, we're going to stand and respond to that with the song God So Loved. So please join us in singing.